You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Well, this week, the most famous evangelist of our time, Reverend Billy Graham, his funeral was conducted this week. And Billy Graham's children remembered America's pastor, is what he's called. America's pastor, they remembered him this Friday as a man devoted to spreading the gospel and living his life at home in the same way as he lived it when he filled stadiums and preached all over the world with humility and with an unwavering focus on the Bible. His oldest son told the funeral congregation, there weren't two Billy Grahams. All his adult children remembered being taught by their parents how to read the Bible, but they also remember taking walks with their parents and feeling their father embrace them and love them even when they had done wrong. His son Franklin Graham said, the Billy Graham that the world saw on television, the Billy Graham that the world saw in big stadiums, was the same Billy Graham that we saw at home. There weren't two Billy Grahams, he said. Now, I don't know if there's a more powerful thing that could be said of someone than something like this. When I hear something like this, it resonates deeply in my heart, and I think it resonates deeply in all our hearts, because there's something so appealing about authenticity. There's something so attractive about sincerity. There's something so attractive that draws people, something about consistency of character and integrity and purity of motives. Today, Jesus wants to call our attention through his word to the deep motives of our hearts. The motives of our hearts that sit deep within. Who are we really? When no one is looking, who are we really? When other eyes aren't on me, when I'm alone by myself, when I'm with my family or the people closest to me, who am I really? This is where Jesus wants to challenge our hearts. Is there a consistency of integrity? Is there authenticity and sincerity in the deepest motives of our hearts? Or is there hypocrisy? The title of this morning's message is this: The Sin of Hypocrisy and the Heart of Generosity. The sin of hypocrisy and the heart of generosity. We've come through a section where Jesus has just laid out six illustrations of what true righteousness is. And the reason I talk about this right now is because it's very connected, what we're about to dive into, to the sections we've been studying before. We've seen the heart of true righteousness as it pertains to the issue of anger. We've seen the heart of true righteousness as it pertains to lust, divorce, making oaths, retaliation, and what it means most recently to love our enemies. Now, in this section that we're entering into, Jesus moves from a focus on the internal realities of our hearts, the internal realities of true righteousness. He moves now towards the practical outworking of true righteousness. What does it look like in my life practically? And Jesus is about to give us three examples to shine a light on our hearts to see if we are people of integrity in the depths of our hearts, how to weigh that, specifically in the area of giving to the needy, in the area of prayer, and in the area of fasting. And so today we deal with the first issue, giving to the needy. I want you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And if you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand and an usher will bring a copy of God's word to you. And if you don't own a Bible, please take that Bible home. It will be our gift to you. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, addressing the sin of hypocrisy and the heart of generosity. Listen to what Jesus goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount. He says now, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Jesus is addressing a couple things here in these first four verses of chapter 6. And this is where we're going to start. I want you to write this down. Jesus is addressing, firstly, the deep sin of hypocrisy. Jesus is addressing for us the deep sin of hypocrisy. Notice verse 1 again. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness." All the stuff he's just been talking about, what true righteousness is. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." The word beware in the text, it means to take hold of something, to pay attention to it. So there's a warning coming our way here in this passage of Scripture. Beware, pay attention, wake up, lest you and I be practicing our righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Notice it again in verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. The wording "in order to be seen by them," it's related to a term in theater. I don't know if you knew that. So catch what Jesus is saying here. Be very careful of performing your good deeds or your righteousness before people, lest it become a theatrical presentation for all to see. Lest the motive of your heart in doing good works and giving to the needy be to put on a show before other people. Jesus is saying, be careful, watch out, pay attention. In other words, Jesus is saying that there's a way to do a right thing in a wrong way. It's possible to do the right thing with the wrong heart motive. And here the wrong heart motive is to be seen, Jesus says, by other people. When that's the motive, Jesus says that our good works are nothing more than performance, nothing more than a theatrical presentation. If that's the motive of the heart, then our good deeds, our giving to the needy, is nothing more than, listen, hypocrisy. In fact, that's the word Jesus uses. Notice it in verse 2 now. Jesus says, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you," here it is, "as the hypocrites do," that's what they do, "in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." What exactly is hypocrisy? The word hypocrite in the Greek was originally the name of a Greek actor who wore a mask to communicate the role in a very exaggerated way. That's exactly what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is wearing a mask. Hypocrisy is pretending to be something that you're not. Hypocrisy is giving to the needy in order to be seen by other people, sounding the trumpet so that everyone can see, so that you can show people who you are, but it's not really who you are. Because who you are is defined by the motive of the heart. and not only by the outward actions of your life. And so hypocrisy is pretending. It's being something we're not. And what you'll notice all throughout the Gospels is that Jesus dealt very seriously with the sin of hypocrisy. What I want you to understand is if you read through the Gospels, you will see Jesus eating with sinners and being with prostitutes and coming to people who need a Savior. But what you'll find is he's very hard on hypocrites. People who know better, he comes at them viciously. He doesn't hesitate to call them out. Let me show you a few examples on the screen. Matthew 15, 7 to 9. Look what Jesus says. He says, "You hypocrites!" exclamation mark. "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" Matthew 23, 15 on the screen, Jesus goes on and says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." You see how Jesus is so hard. "You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." How hard Jesus is on the sin of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is never taken lightly in the Scriptures. It's never taken lightly in the Gospels. Listen to what God says of the insincere acts of Old Testament Israel. On the screen, Amos 5, 21 to 23. Listen to what God says. Listen. "I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs to the melody of your harps. I will not listen." This is what Jesus says to people who want to honor him with their lips, but in their hearts they're far away from him. This is what God says to people who want to do things outwardly as a theatrical performance, who want people to see everything they're doing outwardly, but in their hearts they don't submit, in their hearts they don't obey, in their hearts they are far from God. This is the deep sin of hypocrisy, and it's a deep sin that is rampant among Christians in churches all over the Western world. And so Jesus is addressing this. We can understand why he's so serious. We can understand why, because you think about it for a moment, nobody really appreciates hypocrisy. Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. Nobody ever really appreciates hypocrisy. You hear about Christian leaders who are caught in horrible acts of sin, doing things that they denounced from pulpits. And there's very little grace often for that, because people don't really appreciate the sin of hypocrisy. You hear about people who've given up on the local church because they say, "I don't go to church. Why would I go to church? It's full of hypocrites." Why? Because people don't appreciate hypocrisy. Whether that mindset is right or wrong isn't my point. My point is this: the sin of hypocrisy is detestable to God, and we should understand that, because we don't like hypocrisy. We don't like when someone acts out in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. But before we quickly amen to these things, before we quickly nod our heads to these things, what Jesus wants to do is shine a light on our hearts today. Before we become just like the scribes and Pharisees, before we miss the entire point of the Sermon on the Mount, you need to understand now, Jesus is trying to shine a light on our hearts. It's not those hypocrites over there. It's, am I a hypocrite? That's what we're doing here today. It's not, I'm tired of those people and those hypocrites over there. It's, am I full of hypocrisy? Do I have hypocrisy showing up in my life? God may surprise us today about the hypocrisy that resides within us. The question we want to ask ourselves today is, am I really who I say that I am? And particularly, Jesus is putting the example forward of giving to the needy, but we're going to apply what we're teaching here today to the next examples. Am I who I say I am? Or how about this? Am I who others think that I am? It's an important question. So look at verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Question. What compels us? What compels us to do things like give to the needy in order that others may see us? What makes us want to do that? What compels, what drives this heart motivation? Have you ever thought about that? I don't think that well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians wake up in the morning and decide intentionally, I want to be a hypocrite today. I don't think that's what happens. I don't think we wake up in the morning and say, I want to make sure that everyone sees my good deeds today so that they can praise me. I don't think we're that intentional about it. I don't think we're as aware about what's really going on in our hearts that leads us to that place. Today I want to help us, Jesus helps us, to uncover what's really going on in our hearts that makes us want to so often do things like give to the needy so that other people can see us, so that other people can praise us. We want to go deeper. On the screen for you, Eric Geiger wrote this. He wrote, Martin Luther believed that every violation of the Ten Commandments was first a violation of the first commandment, putting another God besides him in my life. For example, if I give false testimony, it's because I have set something else in my heart above God that is worth lying for. If I steal, it is because I have first set up something else in my life that is cherished above him, or stated succinctly, under every behavioral sin is the sin of idolatry. Okay, let's think about that now. This morning, I want to give us a framework that will help us address the deep sin of hypocrisy in a way that goes beyond simply saying, change your motives. Because I can stand up here and say, hey, you want people to see you when you're giving to the needy? That's the wrong motive. Change your motives. I can do that. But it may not be necessarily helpful for you to hear someone say, just change your motives. What is going on in here? What is going on in my heart that makes me want to give to the needy so others see me, so that others praise me? I suggest to you, it is a grievous act of idolatry that most of us have no idea exists in our hearts. There's an idolatry that exists. Tim Keller, David Powelson, and others have written extensively about root idols of the heart. These are deep idols that we treasure so much that they drive our hearts towards all kinds of sinful motivations, like the motivation to do good deeds, to give to the needy, so that others would see us and praise us. Let me show you a couple of these root idols, and I want you to look at them, and I want you to examine your heart, and I want you to dig deep, I want you to think deeply, and I want you to examine your heart deeply and ask yourself the question, is this an idol of my heart that needs to be smashed today? Number one, two root idols of the hypocritical heart. Number one, a power, a longing for influence and recognition. Okay? I see it in the text. I want to show it to you. Notice verse 2. Thus, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. So Jesus is saying, when you give to the needy, don't make so much noise about it. Don't make so much noise, because the people who are making so much noise about the good things they're doing are the people who clearly want others to see what they're doing. The question we want to ask is why? Why do we want others to see what we're doing? Why do we want others to praise us for what we're doing? We need to ask the question why. One pastor shared a story about a man who began attending his church. On his first Sunday, he asked to meet with the pastor in his office privately. And he met with this pastor privately, and he handed the pastor a very large check. And he said to the pastor, I want you to know that every single week I am going to give you one of these checks every Sunday. Well, the pastor looked at him graciously and said, don't bring your checks to me. And secondly, don't feel the need that I should know what you are doing, or that anyone should know what you are doing and what you are giving. Very often, found underneath the deep sin of hypocrisy in the area of giving is likely a deeper sin, the idolatry of power. When people recognize my good works, it gives me a sense of power, and I want that, and I worship that. Some of us worship that, and we don't realize it. And it drives us to motivations like giving to the needy so others can see us, or doing something else so others can see us and praise us. Because deep down, we worship not God, we worship an idol of power. We want power, we want recognition, we want influence. So if I do this so that others can see, it will give me a sense of influence, it will give me a sense of power. This is a root idol that Jesus is addressing here. When people look at me and see that I give to the needy, people will begin to seek me for counsel. People will begin to admire me because I'm sacrificial. It makes me influential. It makes me important. It makes me feel like I have power. You see? It's not enough to say, change your motives if you're giving to the needy so that everyone can see you. It's not good that you want everyone to see you. It's not enough to say that. You have to look deep in your heart and find out what idolatry is propelling you to act in a certain way that wants so much people to see you. And for some of us in this room, related to giving financially or related to other things, for some of us in this room, there's an idolatry of power. We haven't identified it. We don't know what it is, but maybe God is shining a light on our hearts today to show us that deep down in our hearts, we crave the recognition of people because we worship being influential. Because we worship being powerful. We worship that. We've set our sights on that more than we've set our sights on God. And if our sights aren't set on worshiping God, they're set on worshiping power, then we will do anything to gain that power. One of the things we will do is make sure that everyone knows how fat my envelope is when it goes into the offering basket. Because if that person sees how fat my envelope is when it goes in the offering basket, guess what? That person will think I'm so holy. And that person will begin to look to me. And that person will become a disciple of mine. And I will be influential in their life. You see, we don't see these things underneath. But so often, they're present. It's what the scribes and Pharisees wanted. They wanted power. This was their whole trouble with Jesus in the first place. That Jesus threatened their power and their influence and their recognition among the people of Israel. And Jesus says, don't be like them. Don't sound the trumpet before you when you give to the needy. Don't worship power and crave the recognition of others. He says, uproot the worship of power by resting in Christ's power. Uproot the worship, the craving for recognition, the craving for influence. Uproot it by submitting to Jesus' control over your life. Uproot the idol by worshiping Jesus. See, there's so many Christians that don't know how to think about these things. Their lives are marked. Maybe your life is marked by the constant pursuit of power, but you have no idea what it is. It's coming out through hypocrisy. It's coming out through a heart that is doing something good, like giving to the needy, but the heart doesn't want to do it for the right reasons. The heart motive is so that others will look at me. Why? Because I'm not worshiping God in my giving to the needy. I'm worshiping myself. If I give to the needy so others can see me, then that will result in the worship of me. That will result in power for me and influence for me. That's the first root idol, power, a longing for influence or recognition. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you identify that in your heart today? Maybe you can see what's happening on the surface. What's happening on the surface is you like to be recognized by other people, okay? Those are easy things to identify. On the surface, maybe you're here right now and I'm saying these things and you're saying, man, that's me. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I want so much recognition from people. I don't know why I care so much what people think about me. I don't know why I want so much influence. I don't know why I want people to look to me, to look up to me, to want my counsel, to want my wisdom. Why do I crave that so much? Well, maybe, likely, deep within the heart, there is an idol that sits there that you bow down towards. It's power. It's recognition. It's influence. If I could only get power, then I will be happy. If I could only get influence, then I will be truly happy. And then what happens is you begin to live your life seeking that power through the recognition of other people and gaining influence from other people. This is what's under what Jesus is saying here. When he says, when you give to the needy, don't sound the trumpet so that everyone sees you as the hypocrites do. Power, longing for influence and recognition. That's the first root idol I want to bring to your attention. But then there's something else that I see here, and there's more, but we're only going to tackle two. Second root idol, not only power, a longing for influence or recognition. Secondly, this, approval, a longing to be accepted or desired. Okay, notice verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Watch this now. That they may be praised by others. They want to be praised by others. So not only do the hypocrites sound the trumpet to be seen, but now Jesus hits harder on the motive of the deep idol of the heart. He says that they want to be praised by others. They want to be applauded. They want to be approved of. They want to be admired. They want to be adored. They want the approval of people. They long for acceptance and that others would desire them. John 12:43 says of the religious leaders and their hypocritical authorities that they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And you know, loved ones, there are church leadership teams, there are elder boards, there are pastoral teams that exist, and this is what is in the heart. There is a deep idol, maybe of power, but of approval. I want so much people to approve of me. I want people to admire me. I want people to love me. I want people to be excited about everything that I'm doing. But here's the reality. This is why ministries go down so often, because when you're in ministry, if you take a position as a pastor or a spiritual leader, no one's going to like everything you do all the time. So this is what gets ministry leaders in trouble. They have failed to identify the idol of approval. They're working so hard to be approved of. They'll stop at nothing. It leads them to lifestyles of hypocrisy because they'll do whatever it takes to get that idol fed. Maybe us in the room today. And the sounding the trumpet so that everyone can see that they're giving to the needy, craving the recognition of people because they worship the sense of power that it gives them, but they also worship the sense of approval that it gives them from people. A They worship the acceptance of people. They have an insatiable craving for the praise of people. Come on, just think for a moment. Do you sense that in your heart? And I would say, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us would say in one way or another, these things exist. But you have to identify them. The person that sounds the trumpet when they're giving to the needy so that they can be seen, so that they can be praised, is the person that has a deep idol of the heart. They're not worshiping God when they give to the needy. They have an idol of the heart. They're giving. They're doing the right thing with the wrong motive. The motive is to feed that idol of approval. It needs to be dealt with. And looking at my own life, it needs to be dealt with daily. What will stop you from sounding the trumpet on the good works that you do? What will stop you? What will quench that insatiable craving that you have for the approval of people? What will quench that? Only rightly placed worship. That's the only thing. You take your worship off of the idol of approval or power, and you put your gaze upon Jesus Christ, such that when you worship Jesus Christ, your senses are filled with the glory of Jesus Christ, and you desire only to please Jesus Christ, and what people think around you doesn't matter anymore because your eyes are set on Jesus. These are the things we have to contend with in our lives every single day. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. See, it's not enough for me to say, well, that's a bad motive, change your motive. Some of us need today, in order to have our motives changed, the motives of our heart, some of us today need to smash an idol that is driving the motives of our hearts. Because we've set our affections on the approval of people. If I can be approved of by this group of people, if these people right here can like me, if these people right here can recognize me, if these people right here can be for me, then I'll be happy. This is how we think. And so we worship at the altar of approval, oh loved ones. Today's the day to cast down these idols, to identify them, to cast them down, and to move our worship off of these root idols and on to Jesus Christ, so that when we do things like give to the needy, it can be done with a heart of purity and not a heart that seeks to be recognized or admired. Now, the problem with heart idols is that they will always leave us wanting. They'll always leave us lacking. Notice verse 2. Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Jesus is saying that there is most certainly a reward for this kind of hypocritical giving or hypocritical living. There is a reward. But here's where we're stuck. The rewards are not the type of rewards that our hearts were designed to find satisfaction in. What's the reward? The hypocrite gets a reward. The reward is recognition of men. The reward is the applause of men. The reward is the feeding of the idols of power and approval. But these are not the rewards that we were designed to find contentment and joy and satisfaction in. So our hearts are never appeased. Our hearts are never satisfied when we bow down to idols. It's just a mirage on the screen for you. Psalm 16 verse 4 says, listen, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. And when we run after the God of power, when we run after the God of approval that drives us to do things like give to the needy with a wrong motive so that others could see us and applaud us, when we run after those gods, sorrow is multiplied in our lives. And we never find rest. So let's do some real talk this morning, just for a moment. Real talk. Some of us, maybe many of us in this room, are full of sorrow within. Some of us in this room, listen to me now. Some of us in this room are full of sorrow within. It's not because you haven't heard the gospel. It's not even because you haven't received the gospel. Some of us are full of the sorrow that comes from running after another God. You walk out in the lobby after church and you just want people to see you and recognize you. Just if someone can recognize me, if someone could approve of me, if someone could show me that I'm influential in some way, and you see, loved ones, you see, when you worship that and it's not met every single time the way you want it to be met every single time, you end up sorrowful. That's what happens when we chase other gods. Some of us, according to Jesus' example, we sound the trumpet. We want everyone to know I'm giving this much to this cause. I'm sponsoring 10 kids over here. I'm doing this over here. Look how much money I'm giving. But nobody's paying much attention to you, and it makes your heart sorrowful because you're worshiping the approval of people. But contrast that now with the one who gives from a heart that worships Jesus Christ. You're not worried about what's going on around you. You give generously. You don't have to worry who sees or who does what. There's a different reward in that we're going to see in a moment. It's a reward that is satisfying. It's a reward that has eternal implications. It's the reward that every one of us is designed by God to experience. So today, some of us need to identify the idols. Repent of the idols. Cast down the idols. Confess that you do the right thing sometimes with the wrong motives. And turn swiftly to worship Jesus Christ. And he will set you free from the enslaving need to be known. And the enslaving need to be recognized. And the enslaving need to be seen by others. And the enslaving need to be praised. So many of us are enslaved to a need to be praised because we've worshiped the approval of others rather than God himself. So Jesus says, when you give to the needy, don't sound the trumpet. That's hypocritical. Don't sound the trumpet so that everyone can see. That's hypocritical. Don't sound the trumpet so that people could see and applaud you. Your worship is misplaced. Your giving is hypocritical if you do that. Jesus is addressing the deep sin of hypocrisy. But finally, Jesus addresses the pure motive now of generosity. The pure motive of generosity. Notice verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, if you give. That's important here. He says, when you give, because giving to the needy was assumed and generosity was an integral part of what it meant to worship. He says, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. This is a matter of heart motives. Here's the idea. When you and I long to please Jesus only, when you and I long to worship Jesus only, when you and I long to serve Jesus only, we won't be the least bit concerned about who's seeing. We will operate in secret. We will operate discreetly. We will operate privately because we are not concerned with people knowing what we're doing. We are really glad that Jesus sees what we're doing. And so he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He's talking about a privacy there. But Jesus is not saying that your giving has to be completely unknown and kept secret from everyone else. That's impossible and impractical. What Jesus is teaching us is that when we worship rightly, our hearts and our motives align perfectly. And here's a reflection of if your giving, for example, is from a pure heart, is if you don't care who sees, if you don't have a craving for anyone to see, is if you're glad to be giving to the needy, giving to the church, if you're glad to be giving and no one knows, if no one knows an ounce of what you're doing, if you're okay with that, then Jesus says your worship is in the right place. Versus the one who must be known, who must be seen. The idea here is not so much that you got to make it all private, okay? That's not the issue. It's the motive of the heart, okay? It's the motive of the heart. And Jesus is getting at a heart that worships him, a heart of true righteousness that worships him, not a heart that worships approval or power or the praise of other people. This is hard stuff. Some of us have to do some hard work. I remember many years ago, I was just getting started in ministry. Just getting started. And I was raising financial support and had the opportunity to travel with missions teams around the world, and things were really tight financially for our family. Really tight. Really, 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 really tight. Okay? And I had an invitation, like one of the first times, to speak somewhere, and it was in the USA. I was at a camp. I was in America, US. And so I was making arrangements, and some unexpected expenses came up that I wasn't prepared for. And I remember that someone heard about my trip that I was about to take, and this person approached me very quietly, very humbly. They took me aside and they handed me a very generous check that actually covered most of the shortfall. And I looked at this person and I felt bad about taking it. I was just kind of like, this is a lot, you know. I can't accept this, you know. Even though I was in need, I just kind of felt like this was too much to take it. And, you know, this person looked at me and tears filled their eyes. The person looked at me and said, Jason, please take this. This is my way to worship God. This is the way I can serve God. Please, Jason, take this. And I realized in that moment that this wasn't about me taking something that was so much. This was about this person's worship before the Lord. So secretly, so discreetly, they took me aside and they gave this to me. They gave this to me to be a blessing to me, but ultimately they gave this to me not to be seen by me. They gave this to me to be seen. It was so evident to be seen by Jesus, to worship Jesus. Now, loved ones, this church is full, full of generosity. I can say to you that from the beginning, before we even launched this church has been full of generosity. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep giving sacrificially. Let's keep being generous to the poor and needy. But more importantly, loved ones, more importantly, let's commit ourselves to a heart it doesn't need to be seen by others in our giving. Let's commit ourselves to a heart of extravagant generosity, but discreetly, privately, for the Lord to see. Not for the praise of men, but for the worship of God. As we continue to do that, not just give to the needy and bless the people of our city. As we continue to do that, not just give to the church and meet the needs of the local church, as we continue to do that with a heart that is pure, we will see God do abundantly, far more abundantly than we could have ever asked for or imagined. I love to say this often. God doesn't really care about your money. I mean, how many know? Put up your hand if you know God has all the money under control. He has it all, right? Put up your hand if you know that. Like, he doesn't need our money, right? What he does want, I love to say this, is our heart, okay? When he has our heart, he has our wallet. When he has our heart, he has the way that we give. And so some now in this room need to contemplate this. What has your heart? Is it God or is it the idol of approval? What has your heart? Is it God or is it the idol of power? What has your heart? You can know this. You can know this. If some of us have this insatiable desire to be known and seen, then likely something else has your heart. Today's a day to cast down the idols, to surrender to Jesus Christ, and to offer him our worship afresh. Let's pray right now. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would make our hearts pure before you. We ask, Lord, not only that you make our hearts pure, but you shine a light on our hearts so that we can identify the root idols that exist in there. So that we can understand why we crave so much the approval of people. Why we crave so much power and influence. Why we seek the recognition of people. It's a worship problem. So God, I pray that you would correct any worship deficiencies in this room, starting with my heart, Lord. Correct all the worship deficiencies in our hearts. Help us to put our gaze upon you, to let our giving to the needy be compelled from a heart that is gripped by Jesus and the sacrifice you made for us, Lord Jesus, on the cross. So, Lord, teach us and work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.